the meaning and giving of his name, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. From the very first mention of his name, Scripture makes clear that Jesus is not a random sound or a title chosen by men. It is a divine declaration of his mission. In Hebrew, Yeshua means the Lord saves, and that is precisely what he came to do. Every time the name Jesus is spoken, it proclaims salvation not as an abstract concept, but as a person. Matthew's gospel ties his identity and his purpose together so completely that to call on his name is to call on the saving work of God himself. And, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Luke chapter 1 verse 31. Before Jesus ever took his first breath, his name was settled in heaven. The angel did not ask Mary to choose a name from her family line. The Father named the Son. That divine act reveals that redemption was not a reaction but a plan. The Lamb was foreordained before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. His name embodies that eternal plan. When Gabriel spoke those words, all of heaven agreed. The Savior had a name, and that name would one day be exalted above every other. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Luke chapter 2 verse 21. At his circumcision, Jesus was formally marked as part of Israel's covenant, and his name publicly declared. What had been whispered to Mary in private was now spoken in the hearing of witnesses. The name that would one day cause demons to flee began its earthly journey in humility, wrapped in swaddling clothes. It is a reminder that the power of the name of Jesus is not dependent on earthly recognition. Heaven's authority can dwell in the most ordinary settings because the Word made flesh carries his own validation. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. The name given in obedience, Luke chapter 1 verse 31, becomes the name exalted in glory. His exaltation is not merely personal reward but divine affirmation. The Father himself lifts the Son and places his name over all others. Every knee, angelic, human, and demonic, will bow to that name. It is not superstition, it is spiritual law. The universe recognizes the authority of Jesus because he conquered where all others fell. To speak his name in faith is to align with the very power that raised him from the dead. Salvation, faith, and identity in his name. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 1 verse 12. From the opening chapter of John's Gospel, the Holy Spirit reveals something astonishing. Belief in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth carries transforming power. To believe on his name is not merely to acknowledge that Jesus existed, but to trust that everything his name represents, his authority, his mercy, his sacrifice, is true. Through that belief, the Father extends divine adoption. We are not servants bearing his name as a banner. We are sons and daughters who bear his name within us. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's, his name is now written upon our hearts. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3 verse 18. This verse confronts one of the deepest truths in all Scripture. Salvation and judgment pivot entirely on the name of Jesus. The Son of God did not come to condemn, yet rejection of his name leaves a person condemned by their own unbelief. His name is not a neutral symbol, it demands a response. When a person believes, that name becomes their refuge. When they reject it, it stands as witness against them. As Acts chapter 4 verse 12 declares, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, for God has tied all redemption, all forgiveness, all hope, to one name alone. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John chapter 20 verse 31. John closes his gospel with a purpose statement that echoes throughout eternity. The entire testimony of Scripture was written so that people would find life through his name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Eternal life is not the reward for religious effort, it is the result of entering covenant with the one whose name holds life itself. When we speak the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth in faith, we are not performing a ritual. We are invoking the living presence of the Savior who conquered death. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. No verse declares the exclusiveness of Christ more clearly than this. Peter, standing before the same authorities who condemned Jesus, proclaims that salvation is found in no other name, not Moses, not angels, not prophets, not the law. God has given a name to humanity, not discovered or invented by men, but delivered from heaven itself. To reject that name is to reject the only bridge across the gulf of sin. To embrace it is to stand under its covering. This verse is not intolerance, it is truth spoken in mercy. There is one ark, one door, one name by which souls are saved. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12. Forgiveness is not earned, deserved, or merited. It is for his name's sake. The Father's justice required payment for sin. The Son's obedience fulfilled it. When we confess, he forgives because his own righteousness demands it. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. His name is his guarantee. The devil accuses, conscience trembles, but heaven answers with covenant truth. The blood has been shed, the name has been invoked, the record is clean. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. 1 John chapter 3 verse 23. Faith in the name of Jesus is not a suggestion, it is a commandment. To believe on his name is to align with the will of God himself. And what follows belief? Love. Those who truly call on his name must reflect his nature. The world does not just need to hear his name, it needs to see it written in the lives of those who bear it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 verse 13. John circles back to where faith begins, the assurance that flows from believing on the name of the Son of God. Eternal life is not a vague hope. It is a settled reality anchored in the trustworthiness of his name. To believe in Jesus is to enter into covenant security. No trial, no accusation, no death itself can revoke it. His name has been exalted beyond reach of every adversary, and those who believe in that name stand under its victory. The believer's confidence does not rest on fluctuating feelings but on a name written in heaven. Prayer and asking in his name. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John chapter 14 verse 13. These are not poetic words of comfort. They are a covenant promise spoken by the Son of God on the eve of his crucifixion. To ask in his name is not a formula to close a prayer, it is an act of divine partnership. The believer approaches the Father not on personal merit but clothed in the identity of the Son. When we pray in the name of Jesus, heaven does not hear the voice of a beggar but the voice of the beloved in whom the Father is well pleased. Christ ties the purpose of prayer to the glory of the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. True prayer in Jesus' name is not about getting what we want, but about fulfilling what he wills. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 14 verse 14. The simplicity of this promise is staggering. Anything covers every need that aligns with his heart. Yet the key lies in the phrase, in my name. To ask in his name is to ask consistent with his character, his purpose, and his authority. Just as an ambassador cannot speak for himself but must represent the will of the kingdom he serves, so the believer speaks in prayer as Christ's representative on earth. When our will is aligned with his, the impossible becomes possible. The Lord himself becomes the fulfiller of the request, I will do it. Prayer in his name turns petitions into participation in the work of God. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John chapter 15 verse 16. Fruitfulness in the Christian life is not self-generated. It is the outflow of abiding in Christ. The one who walks in obedience to the vine's life finds that prayer becomes the natural extension of that relationship. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name is not an invitation to reckless demands, but the declaration of a shared mission. Jesus has ordained his disciples to carry on his ministry, and the Father promises to back that mission with heavenly supply. Prayer in his name, then, is not wishful thinking but delegated authority. When our fruit glorifies Christ, heaven itself invests in its continuance. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John chapter 16 verses 23-24. Here Jesus introduces a radical shift in the believer's access to God. Before the cross, prayer was mediated through priests and sacrifices. After his resurrection, it would be conducted directly through his name. In that day, refers to the new covenant reality when the Spirit would dwell in believers, giving them direct communion with the Father. The phrase, that your joy may be full, reveals the purpose behind answered prayer, not self-satisfaction, but the overflowing joy that comes from seeing God's will accomplished through the Son's authority. To pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is to step into the finished work of redemption and claim the privileges of those made sons. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. John chapter 16 verse 26. This means that our access to the Father will be so open, so secure, that believers may come boldly, invoking his name with the same authority he possesses. The Father loves the Son, and because we are in the Son, that love extends to us. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray from within the circle of divine relationship, not as outsiders hoping for an audience, but as children already seated at the table. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gratitude, like prayer, finds its true expression in the name of Jesus. Every prayer of thanks is stamped with the same divine signature that purchased our redemption. To give thanks in his name is to acknowledge that every good and perfect gift flows through his grace. It also safeguards us from pride. If we give thanks in his name, then we cannot boast in our own strength. The believer who prays and praises in the name of Jesus lives continually under the banner of his finished work.